Well, here we are. Guess where we're at today? Galatians. Yay. All right. We are going through Galatians. We had to do some review here, and we're still doing some review. Because we haven't been with Galatians since March. And so we need to do some quick review here. Those of you who were here last week, this will be review, and then we'll be on with some new stuff. The review will be very quick. Those of you that haven't been here, this will be fresh review. The book of Galatians, I call, is the book of freedom, because it is. It's a book of freedom because it's so strong in its stance on freedom to be free in Jesus Christ. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set you free, and do not be entangled in a yoke of bondage. That has been one of my life verses since day one. Do not be entangled in yokes of bondage. Okay, let's do a quick review of the review that we did last week, just so we can get caught up, because we're in chapter 4. That's where we're going to be. Let's read this really quick. Galatians 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, let's stop right there really quick, and let's do one real quick catch-up here on Galatians. What I want you to do is I want you to put your finger in Acts 15, and I want you to stay also with Galatians. Acts 15 is... you cannot read Galatians without reading parts of the book of Acts. Acts is an interesting book, guys, because it really helps you see historically where things take place, because it's the history of the church for probably the first 30 or 40 years. It's like reading Genesis to Nehemiah. Genesis to Nehemiah contains all of the Old Testament, because in Genesis to Nehemiah you have all the Old Testament prophets. You have Isaiah, you have Habakkuk, you have Malachi, you have everything. The final Nehemiah, that takes place about 450 AD or BC, excuse me, 450 BC, and that is about the end of God's communication to the Jews until Jesus arrives. And so Acts really is kind of a same type of book. It's like includes all this stuff. All the epistles were written between Acts 1 and the last chapter of Acts. A couple things I want to show you here from Acts, just as a reminder for us. If you look at the book of Acts, there was a dispute going on. And in Acts 15:1 it says, "And certain men came down from Judah and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question." Okay, we have an issue here. Paul is setting up churches all the way up through Antioch, all the way through Syria, in Galatia, and all this kind of stuff. And right behind him is the Pharisaical Jewish party that is part of the church. These guys are part of the church because they're believers. Some of these guys were coming down teaching that you Gentiles, you've got to be in line with the whole Jewish thing along with Jesus, because if you're not, then how are we going to get you to obey? Because Gentiles were totally barbarian, they were totally pagan, and they had no sense of godliness whatsoever. And so what's crazy about this whole thing is, you look down here and it says in verse 2, Paul and Barnabas had a big dissension with them. Where do you think this dissension happened? right here in Galatia. Paul and Barnabas are having it out. Now, Barnabas got sucked in, but he's also, you're going to see here how he got kind of sucked in with Peter and all this kind of stuff. But you're also seeing Barnabas standing for the truth. They're having it out with these guys, but the meeting is not settled. And so Galatians, even though Paul speaks the way he speaks, the Galatians book didn't really settle the issue. It does settle the issue, but it didn't settle the issue for these people. And so Paul then had to, as you see here, it says here, the church determined that Paul and Barnabas, verse 2, and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So they were sent, verse 3, verse 4, and when they came to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. So they're sent to Jerusalem to discuss this topic in Galatians. When they get to Jerusalem, they're greeted first off by the whole church. Now, you're going to see in Galatians chapter 2 that Paul has a private meeting also, though, with the leaders. Somewhere between verse 5 and verse 6 is that meeting. This kind of just helps you just kind of see how all this fits together. Verse 5 says this, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Boom, change of course. So the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. So what happens is, literally, you have Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul, you see in Galatians chapter 2 where Paul has a secret meeting. It's not really a secret. It's just one-on-one with the Jerusalem apostles about this whole gospel situation. And then you see here another big dispute. You see these Pharisees who are of faith, but yet they've got some things that are definitely wrong, and this is what Galatians addresses. Acts chapter 15, you always got to read Acts chapter 15 with Galatians. Now, we're going to see in the book of Galatians, like we did, Peter does what? Peter does a screw-up, doesn't he? What does Peter do in the book of Galatians? He stops when these guys from verse 5 in Acts, some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying it is necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. What does it say about Jews and Gentiles in the law of Moses? They're separate. Jews cannot eat with Gentiles. Folks, we talked last week, legalists are very strong people. Otherwise, they would not be legalists. They would be something else. You cannot be a legalist and be weak. Legalists are very determined people. They're very strong-willed people, and they really sound good, and they're scary. They're always scary because they sound so good. What are some examples of legalism today? Well, there's all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm going to be a legalistic pastor, and I'm going to be very strong-willed right now. I think everybody in here, all the men, need to have your hair cut short, 1 inch, half an inch, quarter of an inch off the ears. That's the way to do it. Yeah, you're on. Okay. Someone hit me with something. Man. All right. Now, I'm not knocking those that do that. Okay. I'm just saying. All right. We're talking legalism here, folks. Legalism. Okay. You need to make sure, girls, that you wear skirts to shirt, the church, and make sure that none of it is denim. And not above the knees. That's my personal preferences, guys. A legalist loves to do that. He loves to throw his personal preferences, and he makes it appear like it's scriptural, because otherwise he wouldn't have a saying, correct? That's what legalists do. That's what these guys did. They were believers. They were in the church. They sounded good. Otherwise, the Galatians wouldn't have listened to them, right? They would have told them to get out of town. And so this is very difficult stuff. This is not easy stuff, because we talked about last week, and we're going to see here as we keep going. Paul in verse 6 here says, you're listening to a different gospel. We learned that Peter was deceived. Barnabas was deceived. The whole Jewish people kind of went with him. And so can you. If Peter can be led astray, if Barnabas can be led astray, if smart guys can be led astray, you can too. It's very easy. Well, they're believing a different gospel. We see this whole meeting here. And in verse 6 of chapter 15, then we'll get back to Galatians. Guess who stands up in verse 7? Who is it? Who? Peter, the one in Galatians chapter 2 who messes up. Who has learned his lesson? Peter. Yeah, Paul corrected Peter. By the time Paul gets to Jerusalem, Peter is there, or wherever Paul and Peter met, and by this time, Peter has... What was I thinking? Because he's the one that starts and champions the whole talk. And he says, Peter rose up, and he said... And he's saying to these very guys that scared him before. He's saying... Check it out, guys. Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. We all know that. I still don't have a problem with that. That I'm solid with. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, here is what I've learned, and this is the correction for me and for those of you that I deceived. Therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Did Peter learn? Yeah. Yeah. Because the whole law said separation of Jews and Gentiles, and now he's saying, no, we're not under the law. We're under the Spirit. Okay. Are you with me? Following that? Okay. All right. Let's go on. Ooh, we died here. Okay. Boom. Paul goes on, verse 17, he says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. We talked about these different things. Every time you see something highlighted, every time you see something underlined, that is what we're trying to figure out. This whole series right now, we're trying to figure out what was the wrong gospel in the Galatians. What was the wrong gospel that Paul was so adamant against? What did it look like? What did it say you were supposed to do? How does that relate to today? That's how we're trying to do this book of Galatians. It should be applicable to today too. Paul says, verse 8, even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what you have preached, let him be accursed. He says it again in verse 9, let him be accursed, make sure you got the right gospel. And then he goes on, he goes, hey, people think that I'm a man pleaser. No, I'm not a man pleaser. Verse 10, I'm a God pleaser, because if I was a man pleaser, then I wouldn't be persecuted right now by some of our brethren and by the Jewish unbelievers that have already tried to kill me many times. Oh yeah, everybody went after Paul. And what's amazing is how quickly people come against you, isn't it? Paul was their right-hand henchman. He was their hitman. How quickly they turn. As soon as they see what you believe, they're just like, I don't like you anymore. And so Paul, the gospel that he was against, now he's preaching about, and the guys that were loyal to him are now going, well, we need to kill him now. I'm just like, man, with friends like that, who needs enemies? So Paul goes on. He says, I want to make known to you guys that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Paul goes on, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, there was a couple things we did last week. I got to keep going here fast because this is a review and I don't want to do a review again for everybody. According to Galatians, what is the different gospel? Well, there's, first of all, what is it? Well, it's a perverted gospel, whatever it is. It's an accursed gospel. And it's a man-pleasing gospel. We see some of the scripture verse references here. 2:3 of Galatians, not even Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So that's part of it. There's that outline again. Underline, important. It's important. Something's important there. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in. Now, there's another element of people that are here. They're false brethren that are brought in that come in to spy out our liberty. Like draws like, doesn't it? Many times. There's no way that the false brethren would have got a foothold in Galatia had it not been for the circumcised religious party that believed in Jesus. See, bondage never stops here. It keeps going. It draws you in farther and farther and farther and farther until pretty soon you're terrified and paralyzed and cannot even move. So the whole thing is they're trying to bring them into bondage. And Paul says, I didn't even yield to them for even an hour so that the truth might continue with you. Here's Peter's mess up in 2:12. Peter is, before these certain men came from James. Now, would an unbeliever come from James? No. So there's a lot of different groups here, guys. Somebody came from James that had the message really screwed up in their minds. Well, then Peter got all upset. He withdrew, separated himself, started acting like a Jew. Paul says, you're a hypocrite, Peter, because you live like a Gentile and you're telling Gentiles to live like Jews. So there's hypocrisy there. Let's keep going. Also, then Paul goes on. He says, Peter, you know knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, what? No flesh will be justified. So whatever this gospel is that they're preaching, these highlighted, underlined areas are kind of an indicator of what is being preached. And this is what we talked about last week. So here's what we know so far. We're going to zoom through this. Boom. For one thing, it does hold to the separation of Jews and Gentiles again, 2:12. That's a biggie. We know it's about circumcision, 2:3. 2:4 says it's about bondage. 2:13 says it's about hypocrisy. 2:16 says it's about works. In verse 2:12, it can fool Peter. It can fool Barnabas. It can fool the Jewish believers, and we said last week, it can even fool you. Okay. Then we talked about being crucified in Jesus Christ, 2:20. Life of thine, now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you're going to see in the book of Galatians that Paul does not live by the letter of the law. He lives by the Spirit. He even shows the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And he shows the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. You know, people we talk about here at this church, we talk about how we're not under the law. And people get all freaked out because they go, well, what about the Ten Commandments? Well, guys, that's part of the letter. You cannot separate the New Testament. You cannot do that. You cannot take the Ten Commandments and go, okay, that's the part we obey, but the other 604 we don't. That's picking and choosing. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about the letter written on stone. That was the Ten Commandments. Okay, so you say, well, what, Mike, we're not under the Ten Commandments? Well, most of us in here would say, we're not under the Sabbath one. Because if that's the case, you already missed the Sabbath because it was last night. And number two, you're disobeying the Sabbath now because you are traveling. So how much of it are you going to keep and how much are you going to let go? All right, well, we're going to let the Sabbath thing go because Jesus is our Sabbath rest. But the other nine we're supposed to do. So we're under the letter. No, you're not. You're under the Spirit. The Spirit says self-control. The Spirit says love. Are you going to murder somebody, folks, if you love someone? If you're in self-control? Are you going to have an outburst of wrath if you got self-control? Folks, the fruit of the Spirit is what guides us. And that's hard for some people because they go, that guy just say, wait a minute, he just said we're not under the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments are up everywhere. I mean, that's a good thing. Yeah, they're a good thing, but you're not under that letter. That's an old covenant. That was part of the old covenant that disappeared with Jesus. See, Jesus, folks, and we've talked about this before, you can't have the law without the Levites. Jesus was not a Levite. He was from Judah. You can't have the Levitical, you can't have the law without the Levitical system of priesthood. And Jesus was not of the Levitical priesthood. He was of the priesthood of Melchizedek. And he was Judean, or Judah, tribe of Judah. God does not allow us to walk the fence, does he? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. A little bit of grace, a little bit of law. I'm doing good, because this looks very intelligent, because I'm combining both of them. No, guys, the temple was torn. The curtain was torn. The way back is shut. If you go back to law, then you need to go back to all of the law. You can't take bits and pieces. Guys, I will tell you this. You're going to need this, and I'm going to tell you why. For one, I'm going to tell you a very strong homosexual attack on us. And here's what they say. The Old Testament condemns homosexuality. Okay. If that's the case and you're true to your beliefs, then why, Christians, aren't you doing all the other 614 commandments that it talks about? And that makes you go, well, we don't do those. Oh, really? You don't follow those, but yet you follow the homosexual as condemned one? How is that not hypocrisy? That's total hypocrisy, guys. When they come to you with that question, here's the question you need to throw back at them. Oh, and I saw Brock on his Facebook when he was, it made great sense. Brock did a really cool thing. He says, oh, so you're under the law now? Because he was arguing with some of his relatives that are homosexual. They're under the law. We're not under the law. Homosexuality is wrong, guys, because the Spirit says it's wrong. It's against the commands of God. But if you let them drag you into that argument, you're going to be stuck. Because then they will say, well, how come you don't let your hair do the tassel thing? How come you don't have tassels on your garment? How come you're wearing different colored clothing? Because you know what the law says, and if the law says that, then the law also says don't do homosexuality, but if you don't listen to that, then we shouldn't listen to the homosexual thing either. There you go. That's their argument. I simply say to you at that point, say, oh, yeah, you're still under the law, aren't you? We're under the new covenant. And the Spirit says, it's wrong. Because it's not love. It's not peace. It's not joy. It's not self-control. Okay. That's just a little side note there. Don't let them drag you into that argument. Paul says he lives by faith now in the Son of God. He lives by the Spirit. Okay. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through law, then Christ died in vain. There's a biggie. Set aside the grace of God, righteousness coming through the law. Verse 3, guys, you're foolish, Galatians. that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Check it out. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We got to keep moving fast here, guys, because we're still doing review. People are like, it's been 10 minutes. Oh, my goodness. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? There's another one. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. Verse 10 of chapter 3. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. A lot of scripture, guys. And to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Stay with me. Whew. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage other than the elements of the world. Okay, now let's go back. Oops. Okay. We talked last week about some other things. Let me see if I got this here. Here, let's try this here real quick. I might have blitzed the slide. Oh, there we go. Yeah, let's just skip to that. What do we know? Well, it's about setting aside the grace of God. I think we're going to have to go back to verse 4. Okay, here's what we know so far. It's about setting aside the grace of God. Okay, this is what the false gospel is about. You don't want to set aside the grace of God. 2:21 of Galatians. 2:20, what is it about? Let me just read it off the screen there. It's about righteousness through what? Yep, both justification and sanctification. Galatians 2:20. In chapter 3, verse 1, it's about not obeying the truth. So whatever this false gospel is, it is at least three of those. Let's keep going here. It's about receiving the Spirit by the works of the law. The false gospel says you receive the Spirit by what you do. That's how you get the Spirit. You get the Spirit by how many good things you do and how many bad things you stop doing. That's what this false gospel says. No. The true gospel is that you get the Spirit by faith. That's why it's called grace. This is the new covenant. This is something different. says, remember what we read in 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made sanctified? Are you now being made perfect by keeping the law's commands? No. You're made perfect by keeping the Spirit's commands. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says, love the Lord your God. If you read 1 John, folks, it's all about love. The more mature you are as a believer, the more you will love. I know that sounds, guys, we hear that and we get this stupid concept that love has to do with feelings and women and girly things and all this kind of stuff. No. That's our view of it. Love is like watching Sleepless in Seattle. Love is like watching While You Were Sleeping. I've watched all those movies. Love is like Pride and Prejudice. All these chick flicks. And us guys, man, we go, turn on MMA. I don't understand this romantic novel. Blech. I want my man cave. If that's love, then I'm really confused. God says that he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God said, if you love one another, therefore you will see, people will see that you are my disciples. God, guys, love is a God thing. Love is a man thing. Love's not a woman romantic novel thing. It's a man thing. We just have a hard time seeing it. So we act like men. Give each other hugs like this. Yeah. Yeah. What's up? What is that? Oh, I guess the part about the holy kiss, I guess that's just for women, huh? Yeah. Haven't been able to get Mark past that one yet. I try. I'm like, come on, dude, holy kiss. He's like, eh. You know, on the side, the French way, you know, I guess, I don't know. What else is it about? It's about being under the curse. 3:10 of Galatians says it's about being under the curse. And it's about doing all the law. Verses 3, 10 through 12, as you look in Galatians, you can see, guys, I'm trying to prove to you from the scriptures that this is what the Bible is saying. Verse 3:16 says it's about Jewish. It's about being Jewish. And it's about inheriting the promises by what you do and not by faith. See, remember the whole talk on seeds? Seeds being many, seeds being one. The Jews, they came up with this argument. We are heirs because we are Israel. And Paul said, no, you're not heirs because you're Israel. You are heirs because you are of faith. You are sons of Abraham because you are of faith. You are not sons of God because you are circumcised. You are not sons of God because you've done everything and the law says, but you really haven't. You just think you have. You are not sons of God by what you do. If that's the case, folks, then you have three different groups of people on this planet. You have the saved, the unsaved, and the almost saved. Does the Bible teach that? See, the reason why I stick that third group in there is because if salvation is by what you do, then that means there is a group that's not quite there yet, but they're on their way. So you have three groups: those that are not saved, those that are almost saved, and those that are saved. How's that for madness? Guys, it's either Christ or hell, saved or unsaved. There's no middle person. There's no middle ground. You're either saved or you're not. You're not on your way. Golly. It's about being a child versus a slave in position. 4:1. I want to see where we're going here. Hang on a second. Oh, yeah, look at all this. This is good stuff. Oh, yeah. That's where we'll get going here. Don't look. Come on, don't look. All right. I know. That's exactly when you want to. There's your sin nature in operation. It's about inheriting the promise by what you do and not by faith. How do I know that? Let's look. Somebody read to me Galatians 3:18. Just read it. 3:18. Guys, if that's what verse 18 says of chapter 3. Verse 18 of chapter 3, just like Brett just said, guys, if that inheritance is of the law, then it can't be of the promise. See how God, here's God doing the fence thing again. He goes, you can't have it both ways. If it's of the law, it's not of the promise. If it's of works, it's not of faith. It's not like a little bit of faith. It's not like the Bible says here. For if the inheritance is of the law, well, it's not really of the promise, but it kind of is a little bit. That's not what it says. It's either black or white, Christ or hell, law or grace, faith or works, which one are you going to take? Well, don't they both work together? Well, guys, I'm going to tell you, if you're earning, you are not going to make it, because you have not earned enough. Good works flow from people who have the Spirit. They start to come out because the Spirit of God lives in you. How can the Spirit of God live in you and there not be any good works? Wow. They may be very, very, very teeny weeny, but there has to be something there. Verse 10. It's about being a child slave. Okay, now, let's take a break for a second. Any questions up to this point? That's good. Any comments? I know, we're not used to doing this in church. I know, you guys have been doing this for like a year now. And still you're like, I don't know if I want to open that can of worms. I'll do the best I can to answer, and if I can't answer, I'll say, I don't know. But I do have the right to say that's a off-track question. Let's go to something else. Yes?
How
can
you be saved and not understand?
Not understand what? Can they be saved and not understand being saved or parts of being saved? Yeah. I mean, think about it, okay? Do you understand? Otherwise, where's your learning? If Jesus had to learn obedience, what makes you think you got it all down right now? You know what? Don't fall in that trap, Becky, because I did. Every time I learned, can you imagine being under this one? Every time you learn something new, you think before you weren't saved? I went through that when I was 18. Every time I learned something new from the Word of God, Satan was right there going, oh, you didn't know that before. What does that mean? You must not have been saved. So now I'm saved. In my mind, I think I got saved 1,000 times. Golly, can you imagine being under that? Yeah, that's how Satan rips the joy from you. Instead of rejoicing and going, I learned something new, Satan's like, he would just kill your joy. That's, it's creepy how he does that. Janine?
Well, there's things still that, we're not going to understand everything. That's why we always say, when we see Jesus, we'll understand.
Right. Because we see in a glass darkly right now. And that's where we get into trouble, when we think we know it all. Or free will and sovereignty. We all get hung up on that one. No, we're not. Because Hebrews says we can be mature. But you're not going to have everything always figured out. But you know what you want to be? I'll tell you what, Becky, here's the biggie. Here's the one thing you want to be 10 years from now more than you are today. More loving. Yeah, looking forward.
They had no real knowledge other than what Christ saves.
Right.
And that's all they needed.
Yeah. They didn't understand. What's that? Yeah, see? I mean, there's the devil right again going, oh, it's about you. What you remember and what don't you remember. See how quickly he does that? He very quickly makes it about you. As soon as it's about you, you're in trouble. As a young Christian, I didn't recognize that. I didn't recognize that that was what was happening. You know, I went through stuff like, did I say the right prayer? Did I go forward? Did I mean it when I got saved? Did I think about baptism? What about this? What about that? What about this? I drove the elders nuts at Edgewood Baptist. They ran from me, literally. That's not a joke. Well, it is a joke. It's funny now. But His name was Greg, and he's listening to this. I saw you run, man. I saw you run. But I don't blame them for running, because there was question after question after question after question after question, and they weren't questions that were, I got an answer. It always went back to something I didn't or did do. The problem that should have been addressed was the I. The way somebody gets fixed who has that sort of mental issue, that sort of problem, or spiritual, whatever it is they have to hold on to the blood of Christ like nothing else. They wrap their arms around Jesus, or better yet, he wraps, you say, Jesus, hold me, and you just hold and you just stay in the blood of Christ and the righteousness of God. And you depend upon that solely, because if you go to you, you are in trouble. Yeah. Satan can have a field day with you. Okay. Okay, here we go. Now we've got about, it's only 5 to 11. We got another hour, don't we? Yeah, no. Phil, you're so ornery. Now we got about, we'll go to about, what do you think? 10 after? 5 after? 20 after? Some people are like, dude, I am hungry. And you are in America. This is why we do things a little different here, guys. We kind of break it up a little bit, because can you imagine having to listen to me for 40 minutes straight? I tried to listen to David for 30, and I was going, You get somebody else up here preaching, you're like, those poor people. So we get up, we stretch. We say hi to one another, we sit back down and go a couple more minutes. All right. Oh, how about that one? You know, it always talks about weaker stuff, doesn't it? Whenever it talks about the law, does it talk about the law being stronger? No. Do you know the only time it talks about the law being stronger? The law is the strength of sin. You want to strengthen sin in your life? Live under the law. I told this story. I love to tell stories. About the Jewish Orthodox, the bondage that they are under in New York City. Do you realize on the Sabbath, you know, in New York City, they live in the high-rises. Now, I've talked to you guys about this before, but not everybody's heard this. So I say it again a couple times until everybody's heard it. True story. It's the Sabbath, and you have to go 17 floors up to your apartment. How are you going to do it? Most of us would be like, you step in the elevator, you press a there's your work. That's work. So they have invented a machine that when they get in the elevator, it turns all the buttons on. But you're not working. You see the bondage? That's why it's hypocrisy. That's how it works, though, see? Isn't that crazy? So this is better than this. Now, we make fun of that. We laugh, in a sense, but we really should be sad, because we do the same things. We really do. We do the same things. I'm not going to talk about that today. Oh, I could give a million different examples of how we do that. Well, here's a good one. You want one? I'll give a safe one. This is one that everybody will be like, oh yeah, that's not me. But we call this God's house. How many times have you heard this is God's house? This is not God's house. You are God's house. This is a building. It could become a mosque tomorrow.
Next
and a pile of rubble the next day. That's right, because they would blow themselves up somehow. You know, I mean, seriously though, it could, guys, and we've been taught this all our lives. I told you the cute story once of the guy who was outside, and he's smoking a cigarette. Okay, smoking a cigarette outside. Pastor comes out, and he goes, "Hey, John, are you going to come on in?" He goes, "Yeah, let me just finish this." And he says, "Well, why didn't you finish it in here?" And John looks at him and goes, "Oh man, no, I can't. I'm a believer, and that's God's house. I'm not going to smoke in God's house." And Pastor goes, "I thought that thing that you're smoking and you're sticking it into God's house. That's what's really going on." And the guy goes, throws it away, and he got the point. Okay, he's like, "What's going on?" You know, but that was just like one little incident of understanding. We're not talking about smoking or whatever here now. What we're talking about is confusion of legalism and hypocrisy. We've talked many times. When I first came here, guys, we called this the what? What is this called? The sanctuary. If this is the sanctuary, if this is the tabernacle, and this is the sanctuary, then what is this? It must be. Then what's this? Why do you stop at the sanctuary? If this is a reconstruction of the temple, we are in trouble. Because it is not a reconstruction. You are the temple of God. You take the Holy Spirit into sin. You take the Holy Spirit. You don't. Yeah, I had one person once tell me, they came in here and they're like, "Well, you got to act better when you're in church." I just couldn't even believe I heard it, because they said that they've been a Christian for a while. And I said, "Really? Act better when you're in church? No, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You take the temple wherever you go." This is just, well, they didn't like that very much. You're the temple. This is a building. It's not a God's house. This is a sanctuary. It's not sanctuary. Just a building. Just a building. You are holy. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy dwelling. You have the temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought with a price. You are special. Not these. Okay. It's about turning something to weaker. Days, years, Sabbath, circumcision. Guys, if you start doing a Sabbath thing, you're turning to something weaker. Right now. It's separation between Jews and Gentiles. The tabernacle, the whole law, 4:10, Hebrews 7. Read Hebrews 7. If that doesn't convince you, Hebrews 7 will convince you. You cannot have the law unless you have the Levitical priesthood. Okay, I think we're going to stop there. Golly, how many slides do I got? Three. I think I got three slides. Here's what we're going to do. Four slides. I can never see that. This is what we're going to do for next week. Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he was born, the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he had the free woman through the promise. Read it all the way through. Goes all the way to verse 31, I think. Yeah. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. And then we will have some other things about this. So, what other things about the false gospel? So next week, Galatians 4:21, we're going to be discussing that. Okay, now, we have a hymn we get to sing, right? We got a song we're going to sing? Yes. Somebody's pointing at somebody. We're pointing. Everybody's pointing back there. Right.
Okay.
Why don't we stand? Let's stand.
Why is he making this? Okay.
and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. Right, rest my soul in Christ alone. Know his power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God.
Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Have a great Sunday.
Play.